I don't know about you, but I'm trying to figure out exactly what universe we live in, because it's the 4th of January, 2026, and it feels like it should be Easter outside. I know some of you are very happy about this, and I hope, just to make it fair, that come like the 4th of July, it's like 60 outside. Because that's how it should be. This is my time of the year to enjoy the weather, and you all are in shorts, and I just, so obviously you know what I'm gonna be praying and fasting for. No, I'm teasing. I hope that you're doing well. I hope that you're having a great start to the year. Boy, it is crazy to think that we are in 2026. I remember as a young person hearing people talk about the years and all these sort of things. I remember very distinctly being in church, the church I grew up in, and basically talking to one of the more mature believers in the Lord, and her saying, "I just can't believe it's 1988. And I remember thinking at that time, "Wow, you must be so old." Yeah. Oh, the Lord has a great sense of humor, doesn't he? And so here we are in 2026, and now I'm that person that's kind of unbelievably going, "I cannot believe that it is where we are at." But anyway, I hope that you had a wonderful Christmas season, and here we are in our 21 days. Today is the first day of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and here's the deal. I want to be just completely open and honest with you, because for some of you, you've been around here, you kind of, this is not your first rodeo when you do the 21 days, and I know for some, boy, especially today, because today's day one, and a lot of times, boy, you can kind of look at it and go, "Oh my goodness, this is 3 weeks long. It's so much. It's so big. I can't believe I don't know if I can do this," and all these types of things kind of run into your mind and your thought process. And here's the deal. I sometimes feel that way too. You know, you kind of look at it and you go, "Man, 3 weeks is a long time." But here's the deal. The Lord is going to help us. He always does, and I always say this every year. If there's a day that just doesn't go the way you wanted it to go, or whatever, you know, get back on that horse and just go forth the next day. Because this is not, and we're going to talk a little bit more about fasting, obviously, today. But this is not a religious exercise that we do just because it's the first part of the year and because it's you know, the things we do around here. It's really an indication of our hearts. And God is more interested in our hearts in this season than he is in the perfection of our performance, okay? So I want to free you for just a moment, or just not for a moment, for the next 3 weeks, basically, of feeling like you have to be absolutely perfect in your fast. Now, listen, I hope you do great. I hope whatever type of fast you're doing, I hope all of us are doing something, okay? That's usually the goal. It's like we all need to do something. But no matter what we're doing, that no matter how it goes, because sometimes it'll be great, and, you know, some years it's like, boy, you get to the end of 3 weeks, and you're just like, "Boy, that was great. I did great." And other times, boy, it's just harder. But whatever the Lord has you doing, I want to encourage you and free you from that kind of that sense of, and we're going to look at this in just a moment, actually, kind of the Pharisee mindset when it comes to fasting, okay? This is about your heart. This is about your gaze, your focus, how you're going to allow the Lord to minister to you and through you as we start this new year. And don't let yourself get to a point where you are, your heart is actually far from him, when this is something that we want to use to draw us closer to him. So I'm excited to hear about the things that God is going to do during this time. And here's the other thing we talked about. God is not limited to basically saying, "I'm going to take care of everything or do everything during this 21 days. This is starting and the groundwork for what I believe God is going to do in individuals' lives, families' life, our church life, throughout not just 2026, but allowing this to kind of springboard us forward and in what God's going to do for the rest of our lives. So as we kind of jump in, we're going to start a brand new series that kind of is syncing up with our 21 days of prayer and fasting entitled Seek and Find. So Before we jump in, let's pray. Father, we love you and do thank you for this day and this time. And God, for those that maybe even in this moment are feeling a little apprehension, feeling a little bit, oh my goodness, this is just so much and this is so big. God, I pray that you bring peace to their hearts right now. That God, that their hearts would be quieted in a way that basically allows them to be drawn closer to you. God, I know that in this moment it can seem a little daunting. But God, I pray that you would be with us and help us. And that God, that you would open our hearts as we look at these things together. Because I do believe this message begins to kind of lay some groundwork for what you're going to do in us and through us during this three-week period. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now I'm going to tell you just right up front that as I kind of began to plan for this message, I obviously knew we were going to be coming back. This is obviously the first Sunday in 2024. And so I went on the internet. Now I'm going to tell you right now, you can't trust the internet, okay? Okay, so don't come up to me afterward. Now, you can. Just be nice about it. Don't come up to me afterwards and be mean and go, that's not true, okay? Because I found it on the internet. This is your disclaimer right here and now, okay? But I started looking a couple weeks ago as I was putting the message together, and I started thinking about kind of some of the things that people do at the beginning of the year. Okay, so as the year kind of goes into 2026 or the new year happens, I started to go, I wonder like what kind of things people do. Because see, I remember this as a kid. One of the things that we did as a family is my grandparents would come to visit us on New Year's Day. And mainly that was because football was on all day long, which it really isn't anymore. But we used to come and grandpa would come and grandma and grandpa would come and mom would make kind of a fun little, kind of football themed food, like finger food and snacks and all that sort of stuff. And we'd hang out and watch football all day. But one thing my grandfather always had to have on New Year's Day was black eyed peas. Now, some of you are like, I know exactly, yep, I remember that. I remember asking Grandpa, why do you eat black eyed peas every new, well, that's just what you do. It's for the new year and all this sort of stuff. And I remember just going like, that doesn't make any sense. And I didn't like black eyed peas anyway. But every year, without fail, on the stove with all the good stuff, mom would have a pan of black eyed peas. And I remember that as a kid growing up, grandpa would have it. So I kind of was like, I wonder what other cultures do. Because surely this isn't just, my grandfather. I wonder what other cultures do to kind of welcome in the new year. So again, went on the internet and found a couple things. I found that in Greece, they hang onions. I don't know why. That's weird to me. But they hang onions, okay? In Ireland, now this is interesting. Now, some of you are going to try this, I know. In Ireland, they take the mistletoe from Christmas, they put it under their pillow on New Year's Eve, and if they do that and wake up with it under their pillow, I guess it could move, I don't know. But if they wake up with the mistletoe under their pillow, they will find love in the new year. Yeah, okay. In Colombia, they take an empty suitcase. This is interesting. Okay, again, the internet. They take an empty suitcase and run around the block. Okay. Some of you are going to, some of you do it next year. It's too late, okay? You can't do this now, especially because your neighbors will think you're nuts. And if you do that, it means that there's going to be great adventure for you in the new year. In Puerto Rico, they will open up their window and throw out a bucket of cold water to indicate, I guess, the last year's good stuff or bad stuff. I guess bad stuff, and throw it out. Okay. So now, Ruth, this is for you, okay? Because this is one that I was a little nervous about. In the Philippines, it says, and again, don't throw anything at me. They wear dots or polka dots. Is that true? And they what? Something about being taller. If you want to be taller, you have to jump. Like, okay. I'm too late, There are some people right now that are like, oh, I should have been jumping for years. So I thought, boy, these are fun, you know, and I saw some other ones and things like that, but those were kind of some that I thought were kind of interesting and fun and different, kind of, that reminded me of Grandpa, you know, Grandpa eating his black-eyed peas and things like that. And here's the deal. Although those are fun, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, I guess other than your neighbors thinking you're a little weird, you know, grabbing a suitcase and running around your neighborhood, you know, they're really, let's be honest, they're not going to change much. You know, they're kind of superstitions, they're kind of interesting things, and I'm sure that, you know, a lot of families probably do them for fun and to enjoy those things, just like Grandpa had his black-eyed peas in our family. But here's the deal. As I've grown and I've looked at certain things, I have learned that there is no better way to start the year than to seek the Lord. There is nothing more important that I feel that we can do. Now, obviously, I'm not just talking about, you know, in the first of the year. I'm talking about all year long. But just to seek the Lord, to go after Him, to know that as we focus our attention on Him and our devotion to Him, that's going to be something that is actually going to make an impact in our world, in our life, in our family, in our community, our church, in our world, because God responds to that type of devotion. He responds to that type of focus so that when we seek Him, He is found. In fact, the verse that's going to be our theme verse for not just this series, but really for our 21 days is found. We'll talk about it every week, is Jeremiah 29. We're going to look at verses 12 through 13. This is what it says. This is a great promise. And that's what this is, okay? This is a promise you need to remember. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Now, I want you to stop and just think about what this... Now, listen, this is where you take a moment, hit the pause button, even if you've been saved for 488 years, and realize what this promise is telling you. This promise is communicating to you and to me that the God of the universe, who spoke the very world and galaxies and cells and atoms into existence, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-good, all of those things. He promises you and me, mere specks, if that makes sense, dust to dust kind of thing, that when we pray, when we come and pray, He will listen. Now listen, what's interesting about that, sometimes my family comes to me and I don't listen to them. I should, but I'm focused on other things, I'm looking at other things, I'm distracted by other things, and maybe I'm not being a very good listener in that moment. God is promising you and me that when we seek Him, He's going to listen. He will listen to you. And then it doesn't stop there. He says, when you seek me and find me, He said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, with all your heart. One of the reasons we're doing this is it helps us. Fasting is a way that helps us to begin as individuals to seek Him with all our hearts. Again, this is not about a lack of taking something away as much as it is, and we'll get into this a little bit more in a minute. It's about allowing something to come and change us from the inside out. And here's the deal. Fasting has always been a major part of who we are as believers. It has always been that way. And some of us, like, we talk about fasting, it's like, oh my goodness, boy, that's what the super Christians do. That's what the pastor does. That's what this person does or that person. It's not me. And in fact, you couldn't be more wrong. In fact, in Matthew 6, Jesus is speaking. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is one of the greatest sermons, obviously, that's ever been shared. And in Matthew 6, 16 through 18, Jesus shares some very interesting words about this. And this is what He says. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, what's interesting about this, okay? It doesn't say if. Jesus doesn't say if you fast. He says, when you fast. You see, if you look at the context of Matthew 6, Jesus talks about three specific things that are very important to us. These are not optional for us as believers, just so you know. Okay? He talks about giving, he talks about prayer, and he talks about fasting. Okay? Now, we may be really good at the prayer part or the giving part, but the fasting for a lot of people is sometimes a little bit foreign. That's why we're going to talk about it a little bit more, because in this verse and in this passage of Scripture, Jesus teaches that fasting is one of the core disciplines expected of his followers. Okay? It's expected of us. Now, for some of you, you kind of like sitting there going, like, I just kind of almost like, you know, hit you over the back of the head with a 2x4 because you're going, whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean it's expected? Like, what does this look like? And how do we handle this? Listen, we're going to look at it together, okay? I want us to understand this, because here's what's interesting about this. When we look at what fasting really is and what it's not, it becomes, at least for most of us, and hopefully it will for you as well, becomes something that we want to be a part of it. Even though it's hard, even though it's not easy, even though we don't sit there and necessarily go, yeah! 21 days of it can be a little intimidating. But at the same time, it can be a massive part of our Christian walk and our Christian experience. So let's first look at it together. What fasting is not, okay? Because this is where we get confused. This is where we can miss some things that we need to focus in on. So we're going to look at what fasting obviously is not, and then what fasting is. Number one, fasting is not gaining more of God's attention, but him having more of ours. Okay? Fasting is not like God is going to sit there and go, okay, now he's fasting. Now I'm going to listen to him. Now I'm going to focus in. Now I'm going to hear his voice. That is not what fasting is. In fact, in a lot of ways, God is always listening. Remember what Scripture said back in Jeremiah? He's like, when you pray, when you seek, when you do that with all your heart, I'll listen. I'll be found. I'm going to do these things. In a lot of ways, what God is saying is, listen, I am here. I am ready. Are you? Fasting is not getting God to be like, oh my goodness, I need to pay attention to this person over here because they're doing this amazing thing. God is already hearing you. He already sees you. You're seen by him. Fasting is not getting more of God's attention. It's allowing him to have more of ours. Okay? Having more of ours. Number two, fasting is not forcing God's hand, but him forming our heart. Okay, listen, this is where we get a little confused, okay? Because I remember hearing this as a kid. You know, it's like, oh, you have this decision to make. What do I do? How do I handle it? Well, you begin to pray and you begin to fast. And here's the deal. I think that when that was communicated to me, that was a good thing to look at. I think when we have a decision to make or something like that, that it's a good idea to pray, obviously, and fast, to allow ourselves to be focused in to hear God's voice. But here's what happened to me in my life. I began to be so focused on the answer that I forgot the person I was supposed to focus in on who was going to give it. Okay? That's what I'm trying to say. Should you be praying during this season for something specific? Absolutely. That's a great thing. But as you do that, as I do that, we need to remember that this is not so much his hand or what he's going to do, even though I believe he'll do some amazing things, but it's allowing him to form our hearts. It's allowing us to know him in a deeper way. Number three, fasting is not twisting God's arm into blessing us, but him transforming our lives. Okay? That's what fasting is not. It's not twisting God's arm. It's not like going, okay, God, now you have to do this because I did this. Okay? Let's remember something through this whole fast. He's God, we're not. And here's what I found, and I think many of you can relate to this and communicate the same idea. When I twist God's arm and he relents to my arm twisting, I usually get what I really didn't need and really didn't want. Okay? So as you are doing this, as it is, we're not trying to manipulate the system. We're not trying to twist God's arm. We're not trying to force God's hand. we're allowing him to transform in a lot of ways us. So with that in mind, now let's look at what fasting is. Okay? What fasting is. Number one, fasting is putting our focus and our affections toward God. Okay? I think it's important that we get that. It's not just focus, it's affection. We have affection for a lot of different things. But here's what I've found. You can be focused on something and not have affection for it. Okay? Like there's things in your job or in your schoolwork or whatever that you're like, hey, I have to have focus here. I have to focus on geometry, but I don't have to like geometry. Fasting is not just focus, it's affection. Okay? Don't forget the affection part. Don't forget that this is not just an act of discipline that God brings, but it needs to be an act of focus, but an act of affection for God. Number two, what fasting is. Fasting is saying no to some things for a season so we can say a stronger and more devoted yes to Jesus. You've heard me say that before. You know, if I say, well, what's fasting? What is the AJNV version of fasting? That's the definition. It's saying no to something for a season to say yes to basically a more strong and devoted yes to Jesus at that time, okay? That's what fasting to me really is. And the last one, again, all these kind of fit together, kind of flow together quite a bit. Fasting is allowing our hearts to be strengthened and sharpened by the Lord. It's allowing ourselves to be strengthened and sharpened for what the Lord is wanting to do in us and through us. So now that we've seen a little bit of what fasting is and what fasting isn't, to help us begin our fast and begin this season of our church family's life, I want to finish up by looking quickly at some things that when we fast, what we are communicating. Okay? One of the things that I talk a lot about when we do, and I do a premarital counseling, and I've said this before, is communication. Okay? What is fasting really communicating to God? What should our focus be as we're doing this together? And I think it's important that we understand these four things during the fast. Number one, what are we communicating to God? We are communicating worship. Worship. That is so important that we understand that fasting is an act of worship. Okay? It's so important that we see that. Romans 12:1 communicates this idea. It says this, therefore, Paul is writing here, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Now, listen to this. This is your true and proper worship. Okay? Remember what we talked about earlier when Jesus said, when you fast? Listen, one thing that we need to understand is, in this verse kind of brings it up, you know what, that sometimes that can be a sacrifice. Some of you are sacrificing some things over the next couple of weeks. And there are things that are going to affect your body. And as you are doing that, you are offering yourself as a living sacrifice to God. And Paul says, listen, when you do that, when you are obedient to what God has asked you to do, that is an act of worship. In fact, anything we do out of obedience to God's word is worship, okay? When we come together and we sing songs, is that an act of worship? Absolutely. But listen, when you obey God and say, you know what, God, you said in your word that it's not if I fast, it's when I fast. And you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to figure out a way to handle this, and you're going to help me, and I'm going to do this. Listen, you need to understand you're being obedient to God's word, and it is an act of worship. These next 3 weeks for all of us is an act of worship. And we need to understand that. And so as you are fasting, you're communicating to God, worship to him. You adore him. You love him, that he's worthy. All of those ideas. And it's such a beautiful thing because you know what? I'm not always listening to music, are you? But when I am living my life in a way that is obedient to what God's asked me to do, my life, if this will make sense, is producing a beautiful song. You see, one of the things I've learned about my life is music is always coming out of my body. It's just not always worship music to God. But I'm worshiping something. And in this moment, when we say no to one thing and say yes to Jesus in a more devoted way, a more focused way, a more affectionate way, it is a true act of worship. Number two, we're communicating humility. We're communicating humility. Love these verses in James. We're going to look at James together and look at these verses in James 4, the second part of 6, and then jump to verse number 10. It says this is why the scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. And then jump to verse 10. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. It communicates humbleness. It communicates an understanding that he's God and you're not. And that as you focus in on him, as you allow that to happen, you are basically saying no to the things you may want in that moment. And instead, you're saying yes to what he has for you in that moment. Listen, some of us, we get to this point where we kind of do this fasting thing, and it's not out of humility. In fact, it's out of pride. In fact, that's what Jesus is kind of communicating all the way back in Matthew 6. He's basically saying, listen, you may be fasting, but you're doing it in a way to get praise from other people. You see, here's the thing. I've had people come up to me, well, does it mean that we shouldn't talk about our 21 days of prayer and fasting? And I kind of chuckle at that because it's like, no, that's not what Jesus is saying at all. What he's communicating is the idea of humbleness, of the fact that as we are fasting, we're not doing it for everybody else. We're not doing it for the praise of the pastor or the praise of the spouse or the praise of anybody else. We're doing it for the praise of God because we love him and because we're humbling ourselves down. And it's why he says, listen, it's almost like we're doing it in secret. You know, we're not walking around basically going, yes, well, I'm fasting. And we have to also understand the context of Matthew 6. Because guess what the Pharisees would do? They would have that type of behavior. And the people that are hearing these words knew exactly who Jesus was speaking of and what he was talking about. So he's basically saying this. He's like, when you fast, you do it differently. When you fast, you do it with a humble heart. You do it in a way that says, you know what, God, I'm going to humble myself and allow you, if there's going to be any lifting up, to let you do it. And here's the thing. That is such a beautiful thing when God does. And he does. Listen, if you will humble yourself and let Jesus lift you up, he will do it in a way that you could never have done for yourself. Let him do it. Let him do the lifting. Let him do the bringing you up. Because when he does it, it's an amazing situation. So it's an act of worship. It's communicating humility. Number three, we are communicating priority. Priority. Here's the deal. And I think this is very true of most of us, if not all of us. We are far too often being dragged by what is pressing rather than being driven by what is priority. Okay, if you want to talk about one of the things that I have to work on and I want to work on in 2026, I'm not much into New Year's resolutions, okay, but I am into, God, what do you want to do and change? How do you want to change me in this coming year? And I think this is one for me that I struggle with. I get so focused on what's pressing that I forget what's priority. Okay, and maybe you're like that as well, because what happens is we begin to kind of see what becomes the squeaky wheel in a lot of ways. And here's the thing I've learned about the enemy. The enemy can bring some really, listen, hear me, this is important. The enemy can bring some really good squeaky wheels into our lives. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that he doesn't always bring hard, disgusting things to tempt us. Sometimes he brings some really great things that aren't the best thing. Things that become really, really pressing, but aren't necessarily priority. Sometimes we need to let this time transform our hearts into what is priority over what is pressing. Okay? Because sometimes what is pressing pulls us away from what truly is priority. In Matthew 22, we kind of see this idea because basically Jesus' question, and he's asked this question, what's the greatest commandment? Okay? Here's what the question is implying. It's not that the other ones are bad. Basically what is asked is, what's the best? What's priority in our lives? Jesus responds in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 38. He replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart. There it is again. We saw it in Jeremiah. With all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Priority. Okay? Now I want you to hear me here. That means that the way you love your spouse is secondary to this. The way you love your children is secondary to this. The way you love yourself is secondary to this. Now here's the deal. Loving yourself, your spouse, your family, your children, your community, whatever, blah, 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 whatever. Those are great, awesome things. This is the greatest. This is the first. And here's what's so beautiful, and I've said this before, here's so beautiful about that. When you do this one, you do all the others so much better. Why? Because you are experiencing the love of Jesus, and now you can actually share that type of love with those that you care about so much. Okay? What is priority? And fasting kind of brings it to us a little bit easier. We need to look at that, and it communicates to God, God, you are most important. God, my stomach isn't most important. God, my Instagram is not most important, or whatever your this isn't most. What is most priority? What is most important to me in this moment is you and you alone. And allowing that to be the case. Number four, last one, final one. We are communicating dependence. We're communicating dependence, and this one is such an important part of fasting. You know, now obviously we need to remember something. Most fastings, when you look at the Bible, it did deal with some type of a food item or a fasting of food or things of that nature. Now, obviously that is important to understand for a couple of reasons. Number one, for them at the time, that was major, obviously. You didn't eat, you died. Okay? They couldn't go down to the grocery store and just buy some extra food or go to McDonald's and get a burger. This was a way that they communicated to God a very simple truth. And that was, the thing that sustains me the most, that keeps me alive, I am putting aside for you. I'm saying what's more important is you. My dependence, what I need most, is not what fills my belly. It's that you fill my heart. Okay? That's what it was communicating. So when you look at scripture, you know, you don't find, you know, well, and Peter fasted social media for 3 months, you know. Well, that's obvious. Now, we have found ways, because here's what I found. For some of us, the most important part of our day isn't what's on our plate. It's what's on our feed. So a lot of times when I say fasting can be lots of different things, can it be food? Yes. Should it be food? Probably in some way, maybe. But it's what's most important. It's what you depend on in a lot of ways to get through the day or get through the week or whatever it might be. And when we basically say, you know what, God, for a season and for a time, I'm going to put that aside, say no to that, so I can say more of a devoted, affectionate yes to you. We're communicating, God, that I need you more than that other thing. And you know what? Sometimes that can be hard. Because here's the deal. I know what's going to happen to me. I'll do okay today. I know my body, and I've done this enough. Okay? By about Tuesday, I'm going to start getting real grumpy. I'm not going to be happy. I'm going to get some headaches. Listen, if you think for some strange reason that during this fast, I'm just, this is just so wonderful. No. It's hard. But what I'm communicating is, God, I need you more than the thing that's going to take away the headache. God, I need you more. I need you to transform my mind and my attitude, that even though in this moment I feel like snapping, I'm not going to. I'm going to try real hard not to, because I want you to change my heart. It's communicating dependence. There's an amazing story, and I know I've talked about this story a lot, and it's one of my favorite in the Old Testament. But there's a story about a king named Jehoshaphat. He's a king of Judah, and again, many of you have heard this story, but basically, just in case maybe you haven't, Jehoshaphat is basically, long story short, basically these other kingdoms are basically coming in to attack and destroy Judah, destroy him, destroy the country. It is not a good situation, basically. And so knowing the tight spot that they are in, look what he does in 2 Chronicles 20. Look at it with me, verses 3 and 4. It says, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. This verse is important, because what we see here is in this situation, then they're completely surrounded. And so Jehoshaphat, he calls a fast. And he doesn't call it for some people. He calls it for everyone. You go, well, Aaron, I just accepted the Lord like a month ago. Yep, it's for you too. You know, I accepted the Lord 3 years ago. Yep, it's for you too. I accepted the Lord 30 years ago. Yep, it's for you too. This is for all of us. And Jehoshaphat doesn't just call the priests and the leaders, and he calls the entire country together. And he says, we need to fast. We need to seek the Lord. We need to go after him and allow him, because you know what? We're in a tight spot. We're in a tight spot. So he does. He calls a fast. He brings all the people together. They begin to pray. And then look what happens in 2 Chronicles 20, the second part of verse 12. As they are praying, as they're saying that, listen to what he prays. He says, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. And here's the deal. If we are going to have, and I don't usually do this, but sometimes God speaks really clearly. If we were going to have a verse for these 21 days, it's Jeremiah 29 that we talked about earlier. If we had a phrase, a motto for it, this is it. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You know what fasting in a lot of times does? It communicates to God, you know, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Some of you are facing some very intimidating things going into 2026. And listen, you may sit there and go, Aaron, I don't know what to do. I think we've all at times been in that place and in that moment where we just go, I got nothing. I got nothing. And here's the deal. If we stay in the first part of that verse, we're not going to be able to really allow the Lord to do something great in us and through us. It takes the next statement. And I believe in so many ways what fasting does is it does this. It puts our eyes on God. Why is this so important? Why do we do this every year? Because when we don't know what to do, and even when we do, our eyes need to be focused on God. Now listen, I'm not going to leave you hanging. Some of you don't know the story, some of you do. But basically, God says, listen, I got it. I got it. He says, the battle's not yours, it's mine. And just to prove it, and I love this part of the story, just to prove it, as they get ready to fight, they send the choir out front. They let the choir lead the way. And so the choir heads into battle, leading the army to face these other armies that have come to gather to destroy them. And they're singing praise. They're worshiping. They're allowing their faith to be displayed in their action. And basically, as they show up, I love this, as they show up on the field, God has already dealt with the enemy. He's basically caused them to fight amongst each other. So when the army and the choir show up, everybody's dead. It's done. It's over. Why? Because they understood the concept of dependence on God, even when they didn't know what to do. They looked to God. For some of us, this season, during this 21 days, needs to be a season where even though you don't know what to do, our eyes are on God. And that dependence is shown in a powerful way. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's close. As we talked about, as I mentioned earlier, I know that for some of us, boy, this could seem like a really, really big thing and a really big deal. And you know what? It really is. It is. It's an important part of our year as individuals and as our church and as a church family that we focus in on the Lord as we begin a new year together. But here's the deal. You may come to me and say, "Aaron, I've never really done this before. Or how do I do this? Or what's this like?" And listen, there's lots of things you can do and lots of ways you can do it. And we've provided some help for you on our website. You know, there's a 21 days little tab. You can click on that and it'll kind of talk about how to start your fast, how to end your fast, what types of fasting, all these sort of things are there for you. Or you can come talk to me or you can talk to Pastor Renee and Pastor Sarah. They would love to help as well. But here's the deal. Even if you don't know what to do, keep your eyes on Him. Because otherwise, listen, otherwise, you're just going 3 weeks without something to eat. And fasting was never intended to be about what you gave up. Fasting has always been about what you say yes to. Fasting has always been about worship. It's always been about dependence and humility. It's always been about those things. And so even if you go, "Boy, this is hard," or "This is scary," or "I'm not sure," listen, even though you don't know what to do, keep your eyes on Him. Because here's the thing, if you do that, no matter what you say no to, God is going to bring some amazing yeses in your life. And listen, I can't tell you when those yeses are going to come. I can't say, "Well, you know, I don't know God's timing." But I do know the promise that we see in Jeremiah 29, that if we seek Him with our whole heart, He will be found. So don't seek His hand. Seek that He transforms your heart. And we're just allowing for this season the discipline of fasting to be the vehicle that God uses to do that. Okay? Father, we come to You. And God, as hard as it's going to be, in moments, God, I'm thankful that one of our core disciplines as a believer is to fast. Because in those moments, when we do it in the way that we're commanded to do it, our affection and our focus is placed where it really ought to be all the time. And when that takes place, God, You begin to do some great and mighty things. And so, Father, we're so thankful that You have called us to do this. Because You're going to use it to transform our hearts and our lives. And ultimately, that's what we need, and we desire that. And so, Father, for those that are a little apprehensive, Father, I pray that You bring peace. Father, for those that are, you know, kind of almost, because I've seen this happen with people, Father, it's like they get so wrapped up in the performance of the fast that they forget the person they're fasting for. And Father, I pray that that wouldn't be the case with us. That yes, we do our best, and yes, we try to stay faithful to what we've set aside for this season. But Father, even if we don't do it perfectly, that our hearts would be close to you. And that we would have that motto that even though we don't always know what to do, our eyes are on you. And that can be something that can take us not just through 21 days, but through every day of our life. So we're thankful for that. Thank you for the promises that you have given us, that when we seek you with our whole heart, when we pray, you listen and you're found. And Father, I pray that during this season, especially during this time, the Father, there'll be a lot of finding of you in all of our hearts. We love you. We thank you. You're so good. We love you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Awesome. So listen, I know it's day one. It seems daunting, but you're going to do great. You're going to do awesome. I'm proud of you. And I know that God's going to help us all right? So listen, remember, youth is tonight, and then also very important, every Wednesday during the fast, we're going to be joining together here to pray together during that time to allow our focus, not just as individuals, but as a community, as a church family, to also be on the Lord. So that'll be on the 7th, the 14th, and the 21st during the fast at 7 o'clock, okay? Hope you have a great week. We'll see you on Wednesday. Also, for those that are online, we hope that you're well. I hope that no matter where you're at, that you're also joining with us in this 21 days. You matter in this, and we're so excited that you'll be a part of this as well. So for the rest of you, thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you on Wednesday night.